On today's episode of Junkin' with Jenny, rustic craftsman-style transom windows, how to make them in your home. Is there anything that can be done to revive this old chandelier? Some creative ideas and 3D design ideas for some spaces. Also, is there life for these old golf clubs? All that and more on today's episode of Junkin' with Jenny. Here we are, live, Junkin' with Jenny. Welcome to another edition of the program. Thank you for joining us, if you like the show. Please be sure to press subscribe, whatever platform you're listening to us on, iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, whatever it may be. Thank you so much for doing that, and that's what keeps us on the air. So please press subscribe, comments, all of that. Greatly appreciated, Tony and Jenny Bruschi, and Livy Bruschi joining us as well.
Also known as Mini Jenny.
Mini Jenny, yes. This is Mini you over there on the show tonight. And if you're listening, because a lot of people listen on the podcast of this and they don't just see the visual version of this. That's the giggling you kind of hear in the background. that's Libby. That's the one who the trundle was made for a previous episode about two episodes back. Was that?
I think so.
Yeah. So we're here tonight. Initially on the show, we want to do a little update on the trundle and how it's all going. So that's what we'll talk about first here on the episode of Junkin' with Jenny. And if you're not familiar with the Trundle Project, look about two episodes back and you can find out what that was all about. So Libby is here tonight to talk with us about the Trundle Bed Project. And I double screened this and I thought that movie would move at the same time. Let's see if we put it live. It does. There we go. Okay.
All right.
There we go. So you have now had the trundle bed. You and mom worked on this together. It took about a day to get the whole thing knocked out. But now you've had it in your room for what, 3-4 weeks?
Probably around there. Yeah.
How has it been?
It's been good. Harper slept on it a lot, and she's enjoyed it, says it's very comfortable. I slept on it the first night to see if it's comfortable, and it's very comfortable.
It's been kind of a reason for Harper to hijack her room, almost.
Yeah. Little girl sleepovers every weekend.
Steal candy.
But have you slept on it at all, or has it just been Harper that's been sleeping?
I've slept on it with her. Well, so, not with her.
Sure. Well, I got to ask me, because this was like kind of, it's fun, because you got a chance to work like a mother-daughter project together. And we talked about that a little bit on the previous episode where we talked about the Trundle Bed Project. Now that you've had a chance to work on a project together, what else do you want to do? What else do you want to make? Did you like it?
Yeah, I really liked it. So I want to go and help her with a lot of her other projects too.
Was she very demanding? Did she like point at you and say, "Nail that"?
No, no.
Put that there. She's nice.
Yeah.
Good. That's good.
She was a normal, nice mom.
Well, that's good. I just want to make sure. So what other projects would you want to make sometime when you guys are working on something or we're all working on something together? Any ideas? Anything you want to build? Anything that's in the back of your mind where it's like, that'd be really neat to try and create?
Make my closet bigger, like fix up the shelves and stuff.
Well, I think physicality, there's not many options but
I think she means optimize the use of space.
Okay, yeah.
I think we could do that.
Yeah.
There's like companies that do that, but you can do that.
I can build stuff.
So yeah, you could totally.
There's a company for almost everything she does.
Yeah, like you could totally. So what would you want in your closet if you could do anything with your closet?
Just more shelves. Because I have a lot of things I put on shelves.
What about like a gerbil case where it's like this tube city that goes all around the closet completely and there's like 500 tubes and there's slides and
the floor to the laundry room and that just put my dirty clothes into it.
I wish they had something like that, like a bank teller chute that just puts dirty clothes to the laundry room.
Oh, that'd be great. It's like the vacuum system.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That would be real. It'd be like, it's like laundry chute 2.0.
Yes. Yes.
That would be so neat. Although you'd be like really pissed because you'd get into the laundry room and there'd be like 50 tubes all lined up with just like underwear and stuff. Like, I gotta open another tube. And I'm using Harper's voice.
Yeah.
Or if she didn't have to open them, just falling
they
everywhere.
Just fall. They don't even like open, they just shoot right. So if you happen to be in the laundry room at the wrong time, it could get really messy.
Or she could have like a hole in the wall where she just sticks the laundry basket and it just automatically shoots in there. Then she
look at these new inventions we're coming up with her here tonight.
I know.
It's just like Jetson stuff.
She puts it and pours it into the washing machine.
It could totally work.
Yeah.
I could totally see it. Well, cool. I'm glad that you enjoyed doing a project with mom. And I think that there's future projects.
I think so. To be done here. Little girls need to learn how to build too.
I agree. That's something that I think a lot of times it has been overlooked with our generation. But this is totally something that needs to be done. And that, I mean, and little boys too.
Well, sure.
I didn't have a lot of it either, but I totally get it where, it was kind of like, well, they're going to go do their, what's the cake with the hot light, the easy bake oven.
Right.
There's much more to life than that and should be taught and skills and completely.
Right.
I love that we're able to do that stuff with our girls and show them these things. And it's really because of you.
Oh, thank you. But
I have a new saying.
What's your new saying? Is it appropriate for the air?
Yes.
Okay.
Life is not an easy bake oven.
Life is not an easy bake oven. That's correct.
True.
All right. Well, on that note, thank you for coming in, Livvy, and talking to us about your Trundle project.
You're welcome.
Good night, sweetie.
Good night. Go ahead and get yourself a piece of candy from the candy case if you'd like.
Wait, really?
Yes, really. Seriously.
Yes.
Okay. Have a good night. All right. So, there we go. Now, when there's a little girl that walks past the window in about 3 minutes, it's not a ghost.
No, it's not a ghost. And there wasn't one last week.
No, someone just screamed with us. Sonia. So here we are back to our regular format.
Yeah.
But that was fun. That was fun.
Having
and some really interesting Jetson-esque ideas for a laundry area.
I'm ready for wine.
You want some?
Yeah.
You want some liquor?
I do.
The kids are going to bed. All right. Our creative juice of the week this week actually comes to us from here. Hang on. Where we go? There we go. We're back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I messed up with the graphic. It comes to us from here.
Well, they have a store here, but it's actually from St. Genevieve, Missouri.
It is. And Crown Valley Distillery and Winery. They basically do a lot of stuff now. They have wines. They have a distillery where they do whiskeys and other spirits. We, of course, do wine on this show. So that's what we have here tonight. Should we do like the traditional way of doing this where we'll start with whites and then we'll move on to the reds?
Sure.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it works a little bit better that way. Grabbing glasses. We just found it more appropriate to wait to have our wine until the children were completely in bed.
Yeah.
So, all right. So it was funny because when I reached out to some Missouri wineries earlier in the month, because this is now that we're into February, we're doing Missouri wines. We just wrapped up Michigan Wine Month. We got to see a lot from there. What I want to do on the show is really kind of showcase, obviously, beyond what we're doing here with all the creative stuff, different wines every week and kind of block them out into different regions. Areas that you may not know exist. Mm-hmm. People are doing really interesting, artisanal, awesome work that doesn't get attention, nationally. So that's where I thought we're going to go kind of state to state, pick different states and do different wine months for different states. So we are now into Missouri wine month, where we live.
Yes.
So here we go. This is the Crown Valley. This is a Viognier, St. Genevieve, Missouri. It's right on the Mississippi River. And did you know that Missouri was the original kind of wine country of the U.S. prior to California? There used to be more wineries here. This is where you had more of that than any other place. Atmospheric-wise, climate-wise, it's one of the best places to grow wine, apparently.
I did not know that.
So there's a lot you will find. There's still, and obviously the world of winery and all of these things that have kind of come back and had a renaissance in the last 10, 20 years. You see a lot of them now, but now that they've had, a good 10, 20 years to grow their vines and really kind of get things off the ground, you're really seeing some real class stuff come out of these areas. So don't be afraid of, if you're traveling, to stop at some local wineries in different states. If you've been to some and you like wines that are beyond, you know, just kind of the super sweet type stuff. And if you kind of turn off like, oh, any place outside of California makes only this, they don't. There's so many that are doing really things that are competing with California, Washington, Oregon, all over the country now. Mm-hmm. It's really amazing. So we'll start out with this one. It's like I said, it's a Viognier. Why don't you give me your glass there for our creative juice. And then we'll jump into talking about our first project of the week. And by the way, if you're ever in Branson, Missouri, they do have a really cool showroom, cafe, bar. You can try their wines, their spirits. They have beers, too. Yeah. They're knocking out of the park in the terms of beverages. So lots of really, really cool stuff. Crown Valley. And do I have a graphic of there? It's on our website. I thought I pulled it in, but I don't have it on here. But Crown Valley, do be sure to check them out. Link is up on our website at junkinwithjenny.com. I took a lovely photo of the bottles right back there today, right by your little plant.
And thank you.
So anyway, let's do a little taste and we'll talk about our project.
I like that.
That's pleasant.
I like that. It's a sweeter white and I like that.
It is. I like the Viognier. It's one of those grapes that does do well here. I'd almost want to say it's like, if I were to describe it, it's like almost a hybrid between like a Riesling and a Chardonnay.
I was going to say the same thing.
It's right in there. You kind of get the buttery, but you kind of get the sweet tones. Just a lot of good stuff there. Very easy to drink wine, pleasant for almost any type of wine drinker. So anyway, check them out. And thank you guys for being our creative juice of the week. We got to stop in there sometime and have lunch or dinner or something. All right, let's talk about our first project. This is what we are going to be talking about. It's our DIY transom window. You like my fancy graphic here that I made?
I really like that, yes.
I've been doing the graphics. If you've been on our website, it looks like the old tape, the labeling.
Yeah.
Strips. And I thought, you know, we need to make them a little more fancy. So I've added a little fanciness to the lettering, but still kept a word.
I like that a lot.
I'm going to stick with this kind of design going forward. So transom window, what drove you to do this? I guess is my question first off the bat.
Well, I have always liked transom windows in older homes. I mean, there are newer homes, you know, usually if you ask for it, but it used to be more common in older homes and it helped with keeping light flow through older homes. So transoms are basically windows that are over doorways or over other windows that you don't have to worry about privacy with them because they are so up high, but you used to be able to open them and there was special hardware and they would tilt and it would help with airflow and it would help with allowing light into rooms where a closed door would normally block the light. I just always have liked the look of it. And we have this really tall opening to the hallway that leads to our bedrooms and it's 9 feet tall and it's not cased or anything. So I thought, you know, let's just dress it up a little bit. And I thought that would be a perfect spot to try doing a transom window. And so that's where my initial idea came from. Now I love it and I want to do them
everywhere.
And we can talk about ideas on windows or transoms that are for like doorways that where it doesn't make sense to.
Sure.
But that's where that came
from. Is there ever a place where it does not make sense to do a transom window? If it's like too low of a entry point into an area or?
Well, it's not so much if you don't have enough clearance between the top of your door frame and your ceiling, then yes, that's going to be an issue. But what I'm talking more about is it doesn't make sense to put a transom on a closet.
Sure.
And, you know, our hallway, we have, you know, 3 bedroom doors, a bathroom door and 2 closet doors. It's a hall of doors. And I want to have the molding uniform and look all the same, but I don't think it makes sense to cut in and put a transom into a linen closet or a coat closet because nobody wants to see that anyway.
So you could potentially do something, you know, like that with the stained glass if you wanted to.
Oh, absolutely. You could even repurpose an old stained glass window that you find in a flea market or antique store, or a leaded glass window. And, you know, if you happen to find one that's the right size.
That's the only problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you can frame it in if it's too small a little bit.
Sure.
But that's part of the issue with what we were going to run into. And so I just opted to go with plexiglass just for the ease of trying this out for the first time.
Can you, let me ask you this. Let's say you found a big old stained glass window at a antique store. I see them all the time, like out of a big old church window or something, that you obviously don't have the size of a window or the shape, you know, that was of the church side of the building.
Sure.
You know, to put into your house, but you're like, oh, this is a really neat window. Is there anything or anyone, I know you can cut glass, but can you cut glass like that? I guess, and I don't even know if you know the answer to this question of, you know, let's say you found a big old window that like would fit that, oversized that, and you wanted to do five transom windows. Could you take an old church window, cut it into five portions, and then use that in something like this if it was cuttable?
If it's cuttable, I don't see why not. You'd have to have somebody that specializes in working with stained glass like that and leaded glass, because that's not something that's really DIY friendly.
The question is it cuttable? I don't even know, because you're talking about different panes, different, and I don't know that that's even.
I think there's so many factors in that. You just don't know until you start and you find out one way or the other.
Sure.
That's not something I have a lot of experience with. There's plenty of ways to get the stained glass look that's not actual stained glass.
Sure.
There's even, you can buy, like at Michael's now, you can get, it's faux leaded joints, but they go on top of the glass, but they look, they stick on. They look like you have the pieces stuck together with a leaded joint.
Sure, sure.
There's all kinds of things. So I've never actually attempted real stained glass with anything.
Be interesting.
It makes me nervous because I break glass unintentionally. So if I'm trying to do something with glass, I just know it's going to break anyway.
With this, to avoid that chance,
I went with plexiglass.
Yeah. And you would not know the difference by looking at this.
And I will say that I would not do this. Like when I plan on doing transoms over the bedroom doors, I would not use plexiglass because you're not going to have any sound barrier there at all. But this is completely open. There's not even a door underneath it. It's just a doorway. I just wanted the look of having, you know, the reflectiveness of the glass in there. So that's why we did that. But like so, over the closets, I'm thinking when I do the transoms, I'm actually going to use mirror. So it just reflects the hall light back in and it looks like the same frame and everything, but you don't see stacks of gloves and hats and things like that.
So areas where you're not so concerned about sound, you can use plexiglass.
Yeah.
But with sound and privacy,
Use the real deal.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Very interesting. We have a video here that will show you kind of step by step how we did the whole thing.
Okay.
And even before I put it together this afternoon, I sat down with Jenny and said, I want to make sure I'm using the right terms so I don't say anything dumb. And I learned a new word today. And I can't think of it off the top of my head right now. It's those things.
Mullions,
like bouillon. Yeah.
Yep.
What's the history of that word? I expect the full Wikipedia definition and go.
I don't honestly know. I'm guessing that it's French, but it's basically, you know, the joints in the glass where it's either, you know, wood or whatever you can use to hold different panes. Ours are not true mullions in the sense that that's all one piece of plexiglass.
Yeah.
That's just the decorative pieces in the front of it.
Yeah. I mean, you can fudge on that and make it,
you can,
and make it look like it is in something like this.
Yes.
So there's a lot of interesting ways of doing these things. And that's what I think is really neat about some of these projects. And I'm blown away half the time is, you know, you look at some of these things and you go and say, that looks like it's beyond my skill set, you know, and then you actually see how it's done and you go, oh, okay, I could totally do that.
And that's what I want our listeners to do when they see a project is look at it from a standpoint of doability, I guess. And that's a word I just made up, but
that's a word.
The trim is not anything that requires a miter saw. You just need to be able to make straight cuts. Working with plexiglass, they cut that piece for me at Lowe's.
Yeah.
So that was just a matter of taking the right measurements. And I actually got two pieces for the price of one because of the piece I had to use.
Sure.
So I even had a practice piece in case we really screwed up.
Oh.
But you have to look at it and say, okay, skill level. You know, these are all straight cuts. That doesn't look too intimidating. And that's a great place to start before you venture out into the world of angled cuts.
It is. I mean, if you can measure and you have a tool to cut, you can essentially do almost anything.
You can do this project for sure.
Yeah. So here's a video. And if you want to see it again, it is up on our website, junkinwithjenny.com. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel. We feed these out even in advance of some of the shows. Sometimes you'll see some of these videos ahead of time. So if you're a YouTuber, just look us up, Junkin with Jenny, and please do press subscribe. All right. Here's how we did our transom window project. Today, we're going to show you how to take an ordinary hallway entry point and turn it into something extraordinary by creating a traditional craftsman style transom window entrance. First, you need to draw up some plans and measurements for this project so you know where you'll be cutting your boards at. Once you have your initial boards cut, you can begin by affixing them into the wall and ceiling to create your transom window box. Make sure that everything stays very level as you go through this process, and by all means, certainly use a level to do just that. Once you have the box made, then you can fill in the casing of the box itself down to the floor. This will help support the header boards we'll be put in here in just a bit. Then we move on to adding in our mullions. These are serving two purposes, aesthetics and holding the glass in place, both in front and behind it. You can use real glass, but for this, we're going to end up using plexiglass. Going to add in one extra frame board to help support the header piece. And from plans all the way to finish, add in your front-facing header boards, and you have yourself your traditional craftsman style transom window. Beautiful way to enter a hallway, really makes a statement. For more ideas, advice, and home tips, be sure to subscribe to our podcast through Apple Podcasts, wherever podcasts are downloaded, and go to junkinwithjenny.com.
It's silly, but it makes me happy every time I walk through there.
It really is a dramatic change. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really, really is. I mean, if you look at what was just that, I mean, it was a nice big entry into that hall, but it really did feel like it was, I mean, it was big. It was like,
it was odd.
What's missing here? Yeah. You know, there's no molding, nothing like that. And then with what you put into there, I mean, it really does make it look very dramatic and very different. Is that more Pinteresty? The photo that I did, I added some kind of nice fading effects to it. We were talking about our photos the other day and trying to make them a little more, I don't know, because I was trying to like emulate some of the style and color palettes that we're seeing. And I'm thinking I'm getting there.
I think that's much better.
Yeah. I'm all of this, you know, doing this show, doing, you know, photography for this show, everything we're doing is kind of a learning curve, you know, and that's what I like about the show is we're not coming at you going, we are the experts at everything. Same with our ghost show, too, where it's like we may be like two or three steps ahead of the average person
who's somebody starting out
with this. And I like that because I wish that there was somebody two or three steps ahead of us in a couple things that we've jumped into, but there wasn't. So I thought this is, you know, it's neat to be able to do that and kind of help other folks who are maybe two or three steps behind. Here's the path you take. Here's the direction you go to kind of get that skill set. And then along the way, we're all communicating, we're all creating this community, and everybody's kind of helping each other out as we go.
Oh, yeah. And learning through our bumps in the road. And, you know, we'll be the first to say, don't do this if we do something that really did not work out.
The original concept for the show was called Nailed It or Not.
That's right.
And it was about like, well, we nailed it or not.
Yes.
And we kind of worked on that for a little bit. It's like, I think we need a better title. And Junkin' with Jenny just seemed to kind of work better for what we're doing.
And that was a couple years ago, and we've grown leaps and bounds since then. We are not experts by any stretch of the imagination,
sure,
but we have gotten much better at DIY, I think.
Yeah, and one of those interesting things that has grown by leaps and bounds with the evolution of what this website was, what this program is, and what it's becoming and what it's turning into, is kind of the home design aspect of things.
Yeah.
And taking spaces, which is what we always talked about, spaces you don't know what to do with, spaces people may go and say, that's junk. I'm completely confused by this. I don't know what to do. And turning it into something different. And that's what a lot of what we're trying to focus on is, along with items and things of that nature, which we will always continue to do. But with that being said, something that we've been looking into in the past couple of weeks, and that we'll have more to talk about in the coming weeks once we get there, is some of the home reimaging on a scale more so of just beyond us just talking about it, but actually showing it through some software. And I have an archaic one today. It's not, I should say archaic. It's pretty good for an iPad.
Okay.
But we're working on actually getting some really decent professional home design software where we can take a room and then kind of show you our suggestions more than just verbally.
Yeah.
So it'll be stuff we can put on the website and
there's only so much that I can sketch by hand.
Yeah.
And this helps fill in for sure.
It really does. And so I was playing with one last night with a room that we have on the show today. This will not be the graphics package that you're going to see on future episodes, maybe next week. I don't know, but, we're working on this new package that we're going to be implementing soon on this show and a whole other project that we're working on as well to help give creative advice for spaces in the future. And we'll talk about that as we get to it. But we'll go to a space next that somebody wanted some advice on. And you'll see more of what we're about to do here in the coming weeks, much more elaborately than what you're about to see if you're watching this on our website or on YouTube. So somebody said, here's my space. What do I do with it? And it's kind of a section off. It's one of those, what was the deal in the early part of the 2000s with pony walls? Everybody loved pony walls.
Well, I think what it was it was kind of a crossover, kind of starting to get to that open concept feel being really popular. But this was kind of committing to open concept without taking the whole wall out. So you kind of saw a lot of pony walls. Now you don't see that, you know, everything's just like wide open. And I'm not a huge fan of open concept. I'll just be the first to admit. I know that that's the rage. That's what everybody wants.
I think it's changing.
My thing is, I don't want to sit in the living room and look over at the dishes I need to do.
Sure.
I want to be able to enjoy the time with my family and then do the dishes after they go to bed.
Well, I like the idea when you have the space of having kind of a formal dining and a breakfast area where if you want to do kind of a relaxed dinner, you can. If you have friends over, you can do it in there. I like hanging out in the kitchen with people. I really do enjoy that. But if I'm doing like a Thanksgiving dinner or a holiday dinner, I don't want every aunt and uncle and cousin and anybody who's in my house
in the kitchen.
In my kitchen with me going, are you doing it like this? Are you doing it like that? Are you sure you should? Why don't you add some of this? It's like, get out.
Yeah.
Just get out. You know, and then it turns into a nightmare. But with all the open concepts, it's like everybody is there.
Everybody's there.
No matter what.
And I think people are going to go back to putting more walls up in time. It may be 10, 15 years from now, but I think we're going to progress back to a little more separation.
I agree. I think we are going to see more separation, at least a hybrid of the two, because
you
have to be very boxed off with every room. But the pony walls just don't seem to make a whole lot of sense to me. Where on this image, what we have here is essentially a kitchen that's pony walled off into kind of a little family room area with a TV and a couch, kind of a rectangle space. I mean, you could have easily got rid of that pony wall and just put an overhang countertop and some stools there or something.
And, you know, without seeing what's going on that opposite wall behind, you know, the other cabinets and everything. There may be a reason that they had to put lower cabinets against this pony wall. And that might be the reason that pony wall is there. But I think you could, and I know I just talked about not being a huge fan of open concept, but I think it makes sense in this space. Mm-hmm. I think you could accomplish the same thing without that awkward feel if you put in a large island.
And I agree. I think in a case like this, because it's not a large enough space, I think, to space it off into two different rooms. And it doesn't make sense to kind of make a half-assed room
right.
with a pony wall. And that's where the idea I kind of came up with is what you'll see if you're watching the video version of this on our website at junkinwithjenny.com or on YouTube and subscribed there. This is kind of the concept I came up with for the situation. In front where that TV was, that's where you can create a kind of a faux fireplace. Mm-hmm. Make it out of shiplap. I used kind of an interesting vertical brick on there. And kind of whitewashed brick, if you will. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that. You could easily do all shiplap and just insert your fireplace into it. That's completely up to you. Put the television on top of where that that design is and hang it off of the shiplap. Shiplap on the left side where the windows are, couch facing it, little rug. Get rid of that pony wall. Move the kitchen itself completely over to the other side of the room and adds basically some more cabinetry over there and kind of almost flip the kitchen a bit, put a little island in. Some of the things in your kitchen could probably be completely reused in all honesty, if you're depending on what you're doing with your design. You could probably reuse the cabinets if you can just move them around without destroying them.
Absolutely, especially if you're going to wrap the lower cabinets that you're going to turn into the island.
Yeah.
If you're going to wrap them with some sort of, you know, you had them with shiplap. Mm-hmm. You could do shiplap. You could do anything. But if you, you know, kind of covered the unfinished mm-hmm. sections, then you could definitely turn that into an island.
And adding some color to the room was very, very kind of bland. It was this kind of the safe beige-ish color
yeah.
all around. I think there's a little bit of gray there. On some of it. But adding some color to everything, I think, is a good idea. You can paint the cabinetry. There's a lot of things you could easily do. Big pop of color looking straight forward where that fireplace wall is. Fireplace pops out of the almost tealish color that I used on that with the white. So it really almost makes the teal pop even more and kind of creates a focal point on the fireplace. And the other thing I liked about what I did in this design is you'll see the little computer workstation. And there always used to be, you know, the family computer and all that.
Uh-huh.
But and that, not that there is so much anymore. Everybody's got the laptops, the Chromebooks, whatever. But just the workstation itself where if mom's in the kitchen, if dad's in the kitchen working, kids can go in there, work on their homework, still by the parents. Mm-hmm. And you can still have a conversation, still be there to help with the homework. And it doesn't take up very much space at all. I think that was kind of important if you're in that sort of a situation with a kid and a computer.
I like
and being
that.
Able to help.
I like that. Well, not only being able to help, but being able to monitor.
Yeah, and that's another point.
Until they get to a certain age where you can trust that they're not going to accidentally stumble upon a site where
sure.
they may not have intended to go, but they got there.
And then suddenly Chris Hansen's knocking on your door and you're like, what the hell? What were you looking at?
Right.
I loved that show.
I know you did.
To Catch a Predator.
Yeah.
It was, they used to have like on Friday nights, they'd have like Dateline specials. And it was just like, let's get some popcorn and watch the crazy people.
Now I'm going to want popcorn.
And To Catch a Predator. There's nothing like it. To Catch a Predator, the movie coming out next summer. Did you know that?
Not happening.
It's going to be great. How about you? Now, I know I was the first and you technically should have been the first person to play with this software, but I was kind of curating it to determine what we should be getting and putting onto our computers and all that. So that's why I came out with it first. I'm not trying to steal your thunder.
No, you're not. I mean, this is a team effort. This is not a you versus me kind of thing. And I really don't know that I can expand upon your plan any better.
Yeah.
The only thing I have to add is, you know, the cabinets look to be pretty basic, that a little crown molding will mm-hmm. go a long way, but also they kind of look like they're a honey oak, which is pretty standard for the time period that this house was probably built. You can actually, you don't have to paint them, but if you're going to go darker, which I really liked with the blue walls, mm-hmm. You can stain them darker, and it's an easy process. You use a gel stain and you lightly sand. I'm not talking about sand the finish off, but just, you know, kind of rough up the finish a little bit, and then use a gel stain. And as long as you're going from light to dark, this will work. You can't obviously lighten mahogany colored cabinets, but you could get a nice espresso color on those cabinets with this gel stain. And it's a very DIY friendly project.
Probably add some hardware too, pretty like relatively inexpensively.
Yeah. Definitely.
I've learned so much from you. So that's why I'm proud of my little design graphic that I made. Cause I'm like, I love this. And I'm really enjoying playing with the software. There's a program we're working with. It's not this one. This is one I just played with on my, my phone. But we actually are getting a good one, that we'll be having the ability to show you some really interesting designs. And I was playing with it right before the show. And you'll be happy to know I was able to download the entire Wayfair catalog, or not probably everything. There's a lot on Wayfair, but like whatever they consider they threw into their catalog for this program. It was like 2 gigs of data.
That's awesome.
And Kohler and a whole bunch of other stuff. But really neat stuff. We're going to be able to create some really, really fun designs for future episodes where it's more than just us saying, here's what we would do. We can actually show you what we would do in 3D and semi-realistic,
as close graphics. As you can get, you know, I mean, that's it.
So I'm excited about it. It's twofold. There's that for the show, and there's going to be something else involving that too, if you're wanting some advice on your space. So we'll talk about that very soon on a future episode of the program. But that's been kind of my geek out technology thing this
week.
I'm
glad you've been having fun. It's been nice to see you take a break from shooting zombies and you're actually doing home design. I love that.
Yeah, because I was playing with that the other day. Yeah. And the thing is with that, and that's a whole other thing that when I got that, that I got a virtual reality a piece of equipment that not only I can shoot zombies with, but there are applications, and this is all coming out, is the mindset on the whole thing is, yes, I can do that for fun, but there's a lot of ways, and this is going to be the future of, I think, real estate and home design as well, is using that for these processes. And there's a way that we can actually even run this program that we're about to be getting using the headset and
to try out your remodel,
to try out your remodel in 360.
That's awesome.
And really feel it and see it. So there's going to be a lot of applications for that in that as well. So, when you're done, you know, looking at your remodel, you can then go blast some zombies. It's good fun. It's just like, damn it. That shiplap still doesn't work in that spot. I got to kill something.
I will always love shiplap. I don't care if it's ever going to go out of style. I will always have it. My grandkids will be like, oh, there's grandma and her 2017 shiplap. So
there you go. Then eventually they'll fight for it. They'll be taking it down and going, I want that wall of it. Cause I want to put it in my house. They will. All right. Let's go to another item. Let's go to an item.
We've been doing chandelier spaces.
Yeah. This is an interesting chandelier. This is a chandelier that's essentially a wagon wheel. I said wagon wheel like Wisconsin.
It's a wagon wheel.
Wagon wheel. I've had to learn to say bag and not bag. Ramp. That's almost like romp, doesn't it?
I say ramp.
Ramp.
Yeah.
I say ramp too. That's a hard A.
Yeah, but I think it's supposed to be.
Is that supposed to be? Yeah. So is bag, and so is flag,
flag, wagon.
You Southern people are so confusing.
Sorry.
Although I think you're more correct. So anyway, you have a wagon wheel, and I have to accentuate that. I held up with chains, and then there's like little tiny kind of copper hanging down light shades. They're tiny. They're like the size of coasters. And I think is that mini horseshoes on top of the...
Yeah, it's complete with horseshoes.
Would that be like horseshoes for a mini horse, like a tiny horse? Or is that just for decorative purposes?
Well, I'm not sure that this is as small as you think it is.
Really?
No, I'm thinking that may be...
Is it a full size?
I don't think it's quite full horseshoe? Size. But I think if you look at it and assume that the horseshoes are... you know, normal size, that everything looks in proportion to me. So it's a wagon wheel
that is, you know,
laying down.
You're right. That is a pretty big wagon wheel. For some reason, it just seems small to me. I don't know why. It makes a small graphic I'm seeing on camera. I'm thinking, ooh, it's tiny. But no, you're probably right. That probably is actually, the lights are probably more like plate size.
Yeah.
At least appetizer plate size.
I think this is a pretty large monstrosity.
Okay. What do you do with something like this where it looks like it's out of the Western Corral?
Well, if you don't have an Old West saloon in your house with a poker table to hang it over.
Who doesn't?
I think what I would do is I would cut the center portion of the wagon wheel out so you have a wooden and iron wrapped circle, essentially.
Okay.
So you're cutting all the spokes. So the middle and
he's
the
got
spokes.
A circle.
You've got a circle.
Okay.
I would leave it suspended on the chains with the electrical connected the way it is.
Okay.
I would see if there's any way to get those horseshoes off of there. That may require somebody doing some metal cutting for you.
How would you preserve the horseshoes, though? Wouldn't you want to reuse them in some sort of Western project that you're working on?
Sure, honey. I'm going to hang them up over every doorway in the house. Not
great. Is that like a Southern thing for good luck?
No, it's a Western thing for good luck.
Is it really?
It really is.
I did not know that.
Yeah, you hang the horseshoe up. You don't hang it down or the luck runs out.
When you say Western, does that apply all the way to Northwestern or just Southwestern?
I think we're going to get off topic pretty quick.
I'm just asking questions.
I don't know. Anyway.
Trying to learn my history.
So with the way it's already wired, it looks like there's five different lampshades. So you've got, you know, electrical wired to five different spots. I would take this circle and I would have bulbs mounted up on it. So you have basically what used to be the wagon wheel is now a circle suspended on chains, but you have bulbs affixed to it where the... And the five different spots where the shades were.
You'd be getting rid of the shades?
Yeah, and the bulbs are actually going to be pointed up.
Okay, you know what the shades kind of remind me of? And I know they're barn copper lights. They do look like barn lights. They also kind of look like the Pizza Hut lights of the 90s that were green. These are copper colored.
Only you would know that. You know.
So a lot of people are like, oh yeah, I know those.
You know too much about restaurant
and
interior.
Retail.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I never even worked in retail, but I know these things.
So it kind of looks like, you know, a more simplified modern chandelier.
Sure.
With just the bulbs on the circle. And you can put a globe around it if you want. It's just you can see that style several different places. I did not have time to pull a picture to say, here's what I would turn it into.
How would you mount those light bulbs on this thing? That'd be my question.
Well, with it being... wood, you could have the a gasket? Is that what that's called? Where the light bulb screws into?
Yeah.
Mounted into the wood.
Okay.
So that it faces up.
Would you be like, is this like an Edison type fixture? Is that what you're thinking? You could do an Edison bulb.
I love those flicker flame light bulbs. Those are my favorite thing right now.
But those exposed, I don't think would look that great on something like this.
Right.
Those you have to kind of hide.
You could put a fogged globe around this.
Okay, sure.
And then you have that look.
Okay.
Next time I'm going to try and pull a picture of what I would turn it into because I don't think I did a very good job describing it.
I think you did. I understand what you're saying.
Pottery Barn has a similar type fixture out
right
now. So if you peruse their catalog, you might see kind of what Jenny was trying to talk about after a glass of wine.
I'd cut it all off, put it back in a wagon.
You know what? No shit. When I was growing up, we had an old 1800s wagon in the front yard because my dad thought it was freaking awesome.
How the hell did you come across an 1800s wagon?
I don't know. I swear it was like Laura Ingalls Wilder probably rode in this thing to school.
And you had it in your front yard?
In our front yard. And my dad was afraid somebody was going to steal it in the middle of the night. So he chained it to the telephone pole in the front yard. And you wonder why I'm weird. So.
I have never heard this story.
Yeah. I'm not even joking.
How long did you, like, was this in Texas this in Kansas?
No, this was in Kansas. We had acreage. So this was, it was supposed to be, you know, kind of cool.
Was this on the property that I've seen that you've taken me out to?
Yeah.
It's like a nice little neighborhood there with a, and were people like thinking there's like a chuck wagon dinner that's going to be served at this property?
Okay. It didn't have like the, what is that called? Like the canvas that goes over the back with the arches. It didn't have that. It was just open.
But could it have had that?
Oh, it sure could have. It could have been like circle your wagons, the, you know,
it's like the storm you see coming on Oregon Trail.
Yes.
Where it's like, oh shit, it got lost in the river because you didn't float it well enough.
Right.
And everybody's going to die of syphilis.
You've got to buy, and not syphilis. Scurvy. There's a difference.
I swear to God, I played Oregon Trail. Everybody got syphilis once.
Nobody got syphilis on Oregon Trail.
It was really weird. It was
my God.
Your camp's been invaded and all of the women have syphilis. It's like, what happened? They did, but they didn't really expound upon that on the green screen on the Apple IIs.
So yeah, we had a chuck wagon in the front yard. Not even
Did you ever go and like have a chuck wagon supper out there?
No. And we should have. We should have had wagon picnics.
Sit in a circle and sing cowboy songs or something?
No, but I will tell you, every time we had family come to visit, everybody wanted pictures of the grandkids in the wagon. So we climbed up there twice a year and did pictures. So there's probably somewhere progressions of little Jenny growing up sitting in this chuck wagon.
Did you ever have like animals you found living in the wagon? I mean, it was just sitting there. I would think it would be like kind of a nice little spot for something to go and nest.
No, because it wasn't enclosed. It was basically like the truck version of a wagon.
Sure.
There was no topper on the back.
So there's nothing that you never found.
No. Occasionally you get a hornet's nest up under it, but.
Family's in there. What's that buzzing noise? Shit. Whatever happened with the chuck wagon?
Well, when they sold that house and they moved to a smaller home without acreage, they sold it. And I don't remember if somebody hooked it up and hauled it away or how that thing got gone.
It was pre-Craigslist, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So.
No, it was a garage sale find of all garage sale finds.
That would either be like in the classifieds or...
No, we sold it at the garage sale.
Oh, at the garage sale itself.
Somebody came by and made an offer and they sold it.
Children's clothes, appliances, chuck wagon. That's not one you see normally as a headline.
I don't remember how we got that thing to the house either. But it was there
oxen.
For like 10 years.
Oxen.
Yeah.
You probably rented some oxen. Wouldn't that be the obvious? I learned something new on the episode tonight.
That did not spark my love of all things old. That was just one of the things I was exposed to.
Jenny and her chuck wagon.
Oh God, I'm never going to hear the end of this now.
You know, tonight we're doing the show, and we initially started out doing this thing live on Facebook. And when you're watching, if you're watching this on Facebook, it's because we reposted it. I'm using we and re and all in the same sentence. And unfortunately, Facebook, as we're doing the show, is down all over the world right now.
Yeah.
I was reading, I was just like, what's going on? It kept crashing and crashing on us. And it was like all the Facebook live posts are crashing. And so we're just recording it as we used to do before we did it live. I wish we were live for that last 10 minutes because the comments that we
get. Oh, my God.
If you're watching this now, please do comment. In fact, I think I may, when I repost this thing, I do have the ability to repost this in real time. So I may edit this and then just redo it live, even though we're not live. Just so we can get the damn comments, because that was funny. That was...
I tell you, there's more where that came from.
I can't wait. I can't wait to continue learning about my wife as we do the show and stories I've never heard.
9 years and you didn't know about that?
There's very little as far as stories that I think I haven't heard before, but that was one of them.
Oh, I got some for you.
Is there more that I'm not aware of?
Did I tell you about the saloon in the basement? I was kind of.
You have. You've told me about the saloon.
I was kind of joking when I said, if you don't have an Old West saloon in your house.
Yeah. You have told me about that.
Yeah.
It might have even been on this show. Yeah. I'm not sure. But we can bring that up when we talk about a saloon in the basement sometime.
Okay.
I think we've had so much sharing on one episode that we should just.
Oh, it's so therapeutic.
Hold some of these stories, unless another item sparks that for you. Let's go over to this item that needs some advice. And here's a big old thing of old golf clubs.
Okay.
On a ping pong table, nonetheless, a ping pong table is not part of this. So we're talking about just these are old wooden golf clubs, which I swear, if I had these, I think I probably would have broken them by now just because they're wood.
Uh-huh.
Like the sticks themselves are wood. This is like the type of stuff you'd see. And I think even the golf club or the golf course that I go to has pictures of the people in old poses in the men's restroom where it's like the man with the golf club with the stick on it.
In the kilt.
In the kilt, yeah. Yes. Hitting, when were you in the men's bathroom?
No, there's the same
picture. How do you know these pictures?
No, there's that picture at the clubhouse.
It's only in the men's bathroom.
No.
Above the urinals.
I will show you where it's at.
Okay. You going and checking out the men's bathroom, just seeing if we have something nicer in there? We don't. We don't have anything. We don't have even running water.
I have never been in there.
We have a hole in the ground, and I'm kidding.
I want to know what kind of hole you have in the men's bathroom.
It's a hole in the ground. It says go there. And then everybody just kind of goes. And there's this picture of a man holding a golf club.
Right anyway, golf clubs.
Anyway, these old golf clubs, everything from, I think, like the putter, from what I can tell, all the way down to, I don't know, like an 8 or 9 iron. But these things probably 80, 90 years old. Not playable anymore. What do you do with something like this?
I just love them for hanging them on the wall. But if you want something functional, mm-hmm. I think if you mounted them, you could make a towel bar out of them. I think it'd be kind of neat.
And still use it as with the golf head?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Cause I wouldn't want to just like take the pole off and use have a pole.
No,
essentially.
No. Mount it just as is.
Yeah.
And like, I would use like not cup hooks, but a larger sized circle.
Sure.
That you could set it on to where you're not really damaging the wood on it, but you're using it in a decorative way.
Yeah.
And I like that for like either a little boy's bathroom or mm-hmm. kind of a, you know, I hate the phrase man cave, but like more of the guys hangout bathroom, you know, do something like that. It's really neat.
The guy's lounge.
Okay.
The guy's spa.
Is that better?
I have no, man cave seems to be the operative term.
Okay.
And I'm not a huge fan of it either, but that's, I would say that. I would say I would use this in a man cave or whatever you want to call it. And especially if you fix it up really nice, mm-hmm. you know, kind of, you know, tavern, bar-like, sports bar, whatever theme you have going on. This would fit anywhere from even high-end to low-end, depending on what you're doing. And I would use them as some sort of a hanging device, whether you're, I don't know what you could do so many things. You could hang pictures from it. You could hang, if you wanted to, there's a way you could set this up to put pool cues and make it into a pool cue type rack if you put them really tight together. There's a lot of ways you could kind of have some fun mm-hmm. with this, but I would certainly use it as some sort of a hanging thing in a man cave of some sort. I don't have a specific use, but it really depends on the theme of your cave.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, but definitely, you know, get those things out on some sort of a rack. And then you can basically affix anything to it. There's always times you're sitting there going, I wish I had a shelf for this or something I could hang something here on. And here you go. That'd be a great way to use some of these old antique golf clubs.
I just love the wood. You can see that, you know, the stains worn off. And then there's rust on the the heads of them. I really like that. And I really like that they put it on a ping pong table because the green behind it,
yeah.
I could see it in a bathroom that's painted like a dark kind of turfy green.
And it works well. I mean, because there's a lot of man caves that have that sort of color going on, almost Irish pub-ish.
Yeah.
And that's why these things would really pop off the wall. And there's just a lot of fun things. You could do, you could even do like hooks on this behind a bar and hang mugs or copper mugs off of them.
That would be really
There's pretty. A lot of really neat.
That would be really pretty. I like that.
Neat things you could do with these things. Especially playing in, you know, with the Irish and the golf club and the copper and all that.
Yeah.
I could see that being really fun. So there's some ideas for some old golf clubs. Let's go over to, you want a space or an item? We got two items. We have a space and an item.
Okay. Let's do an item. And I'm going to let you lead out on this item because I don't even know what this thing is.
You know what this thing is?
Show it.
Sure?
Yeah.
Positive? Okay. This right here.
Yeah.
It says Homer on it.
Uh-huh.
This is a vent cover.
Like a street vent?
No, like a home vent.
Oh.
Like, it's big. I mean, we're all used to modernized home vents that are a small rectangle. Uh-huh. Older homes would have had a much larger vent cover because they didn't have a gazillion vents.
Well, sure. I knew that. I just didn't recognize it with the Homer in the middle. Okay. I don't know how I didn't know that.
And I don't know if that's the name of the ventilation or the type of furnace of the day. I think it's a furnace type of the day. But this is probably early, you know, 1920s, 1930s. Uh-huh. Super heavy. This is probably an iron piece. Uh-huh. But very ornate, very much still intact. We got, you know, cross hatches, diamonds on it. This is Homer in the middle. And in very good shape for the most part. It's not rusted out, but I'm kind of disappointed in that fact. I think I'd almost want to make it a little rusted out, depending on what I would want to do with it.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on what you would do with this piece?
I see fireplace screen. Like, if you can make it stand up and make it something that you could move.
Sure.
I don't know how much you're going to want to move it, though, because you said it was really, really heavy.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably like a 40 to 50-pound piece.
Well, but if you had a gas fireplace that maybe had glass on the front that you're not going to need to move to put logs into, I think it'd make a neat decorative fireplace screen.
I could see that.
That's what I saw when I saw it. And I don't know. How big do you think it is?
I'd say probably 3 foot by 3 foot. I think it's a little distorted here on the photo that you're seeing. If you're watching the video, I think it's stretched a little bit.
Okay.
For the dimensions that we needed it to be. It's a little more square than what you're seeing on screen.
Okay. So you could make a coffee table out of it too if you put glass on top.
Small one or a side table.
Yeah.
I like things like this to play with light.
Uh-huh.
Because I think they're, a lot of times you get into a house and you're looking for creative ways to use light and creative ways to make a room have some feel. And I would think it'd be a neat thing to do of putting some light behind it and shooting it past. You have some very interesting shadows that are made in a lot of them. That's kind of the direction I would go. Almost, I mean, my only reference point in something like this would be like an old light bright, like the old school light brights. Remember where, we're talking about this last night, it was at Target and they were selling the old school toys. But they don't have the old school version of light bright, just the graphic. But the old light bright, you had the light bulb and it then shot through essentially a big plastic piece that had a ton of holes in it. But it did kind of create a shaded version of the light. So it wasn't just a straight spotlight. If you took that plastic piece off, yeah, you got a spotlight then. But if you put a light behind this, it's kind of a shaded version and kind of casts an interesting shadow on the wall. I think that could do this.
Okay.
Depending on the room you're wanting it to be in, it could even be a hallway or something of that nature. Maybe not a main room, but I think you could have a very fun piece to work with. Maybe slant it back on something, get some, you know, some older wood, if you can find some interesting pieces at a antique store or a reclaim shop, and kind of just create something for this to kind of rest back on, put the light behind it, spotlight up through it, and then cast it somewhere
maybe in a dining on a corner in the time you're not using the dining area, you know, where all the lights are off and you're in the kitchen lights are on, but you look over to your dining area and there's some illumination in there, but it's kind of a lower cast light with some interesting shadows.
Okay.
That would be my direction on it.
Sounds good.
So
there you go. I think my great grandmother had a floor vent, but I don't remember it looking like that.
No?
No.
They're different, obviously. All the homes had very, you know, different, and there was so many companies mm-hmm. back in that era that had different types of vents. So it's a fun piece.
It is neat.
It would be really neat to kind of to find some time. Before we jump to our next piece, let's break into this. This is the other Crown Valley that we have, and this is their Crown Country Red from St. Genevieve, Missouri. And now that we live here, I always wondered, is it Missouri or Missouri?
I haven't heard anybody say Missouri.
Ever.
No, not unless they're from somewhere else.
Yeah, it's always been Missouri. So it is, at least the residents in this area call it Missouri. I like this red.
I do too.
I've been sipping on it.
It's a buttery red.
It's nice, yeah.
I like that a lot.
A little bit of spice. Mm-hmm. A little bit smooth. Again, it's one of those things where you'd be very surprised by what can be produced outside of the only known areas of the country. And honestly, I think as laws change, as liquor laws get more and more lax and more just realistic for how people use it, now that we're out of the prohibition era and we're finally accepting that people use and enjoy wine, we're going to see, I think, more wines like this coming into other places of sale, liquor stores, wherever you buy. Because right now, a lot of it's still just pretty much California or Washington or Oregon. As these things become more and more accepted, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how the rest of the country adapts to going, oh, have you had a Missouri wine lately? Have you had a New York wine? Have you had a Michigan wine? Because it's just not something you hear.
Sure.
Because they're not available. It's not because they're not good. It's because they're not available mm-hmm. in a lot of times retail. But it's changing. And I'm excited to see 20 years from now what everyone's raging about when it's more than just three states that are allowed to sell mm-hmm. to the rest of the country. It's going to be exciting and really some opening them some eyes, I think, of other varieties that are out there. Let's look at this backyard space here. It needs some advice. What we see on the screen is essentially a little patio that's kind of off of the back of a attached garage. Really kind of a nice kitchen setup there. You got your grill and some side panels to it where you can do a little work and some drawers and all that. Kind of a tight spacing, though, with the patio set that's right there off to the left of that, almost an alleyway with a little bit of stone there and some gravel, a little bench, and then off to the rest of the yard. It's just kind of some dead grass and an air conditioning unit. And then the house goes from some brick to some siding. So it's kind of a confused look. I do like what they've done with their patio, but it does seem kind of tight.
It's kind of tight. I think they could expand their patio further over to where the gravel is mm-hmm. and open that up to where there is more space around that outdoor kitchen. It's a really nice outdoor kitchen. So they've got a really good start on this. And, you know, I would say, there's the siding going on next to the brick, but that's the backside of your house. And that's going to be, you know, ideally kind of a fun hangout. Just that little bit of siding, you could paint that a fun color and get away with it.
You could.
You know, you could do a blue or something really, you know, just that kind of pops against the red that's not just the gray. And just do just the back part where it shows and just to the outdoor living area. So it's not, you know, you're not painting all your siding all the way around the house
sure.
blue, but you could do something fun there, you know, kind of play with it. I would personally like to see a pergola over this just to kind of add some shade at certain times of the day. I like that they've got the cafe outdoor lights going on. I would keep that. Maybe, you know, consider restringing them once, you know, a pergola or something like that was added. There's three different kinds of fencing going on. So with that, I would try and camouflage, because obviously fencing is going to be an expensive endeavor. If you get a new fence, that's great. If not, I would just try and camouflage what's going on with some lattice.
That's a good way of doing that.
And you can grow things on it, like, you know, flowering vines, non-flowering vines.
Grapevines, if you can get them going.
Yeah. I mean, I would just try and use something to kind of camouflage that and give it more of a cohesive feel.
I would expand the rectangle space of the patio itself with the cement that's going on. And I would actually get rid of where that, I would keep the slab where the table is right now, but I would open that more so up to be kitchen workspace. I would expand it out to be a larger rectangle towards the house, and then put the actual dining table in front. So almost like there's your outdoor kitchen, and then in front of you is where people are sitting and enjoying and relaxing. So you can talk to them as you're sitting there in the outdoor kitchen grilling, doing whatever.
And not have your back to them.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Not having their back to them. And then you can also turn around. I'd put probably some sort of a workspace there, an island of some sort, where I could also be working in my outdoor kitchen. But then you also have kind of a walk around. Again, you're just kind of expanding the rectangle out just a little bit. And then they already do have some cool lighting, which I just actually noticed right now. They have, it looks like some of the Edison type bulb outdoor fixtures, three of them kind of hanging down from the roof to some sort of extension up behind where we're seeing on the photo.
It's probably just a tree.
A tree or a telephone pole or something. But what I would do with that is instead of just hanging it like that directly over, I would surround it. I just kind of get some sort of beams or poles and then surround the outline of the updated patio with that sort of lighting. What we've discovered with that was with the amount of bulbs that we had, I had never used the string lighting that was like that before with the bright Edison bulbs. And I thought, oh, this might be overpowering, but it really wasn't.
Yeah.
It really worked really well just to string around the outline of your space. And we can showcase that in a upcoming episode of the show as we get into spring, because we're doing some stuff out there on the patio for the show.
Yeah.
And it really works well. It illuminates it just right.
Enough.
So I would just expand that patio and kind of reverse where things are at. I think you'd have a really fun outdoor space there to spend a lot of time in the summer. Plus, it looks like there might be some difficulty with the upkeep of that yard. And there's nothing – that may not even be the homeowner at all. That just might be
– just the yard.
The yard, the climate, the dirt you're working with. And sometimes, no matter what you do, there's almost – it can be impossible sometimes. So the more of a slab you make, the less you have to deal with.
Sure.
I'm not trying to make an excuse for not working on a yard, but sometimes it's just like you can't win that battle.
Well, and sometimes you're doing good if you've got the front looking good and the HOA or whoever's not on your case, the neighbors aren't complaining. Yeah. And it's just like, it's such a battle. It's like the backyard just kind of goes by the wayside.
Yeah. Go back there and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And if you can expand that, I mean, concrete, I know it has gone up in price to get it done, but I would say it'd be worth the investment. That's really the only, I think, monetary thing I'd be throwing at that. Other than the fence ideas, I like that in the lattice. But a lot of it's just kind of rearranging.
Yeah. Or the paint, you know.
The paint. Yeah. I mean, it's not a ton of expense to get something like that done.
Yeah.
So that'd be the direction I would go with that. I think we've hit everything.
I think so.
On the episode today.
After three tries, we got it.
Yeah, the show crashed three times, literally. You wouldn't know that because I've edited it all together seamlessly, except for the parts where we repeat ourselves a few times, like Max Headroom. Although I didn't. That'd be kind of fun.
Max Headroom.
Remember Max Headroom?
Yes.
We should do a show where it's filtered and we both look like a Max Headroom version of ourselves. It's like, what would you do with that, Jenny? Because he stuttered. Remember Max?
Yeah, that's weird.
It'd be kind of Forrest Gumpish though. With the,
okay.
I didn't mean that.
Just because it's Jenny, right? Jenny. Okay.
What would your name be if it wasn't Jenny? Have you always liked your name? Let me ask you that.
Okay. Well, it used to be I only went by Jennifer, and I did not like Jenny.
You didn't? Yeah. The first many years of us knowing each other, I never called you Jenny.
Yeah.
It was Jen or Jennifer.
I kind of got used to Jenny after a while.
Yeah.
And now I just go, it's my go-to.
Was that the ghost show that it was Jenny that, and why did we start?
Because it sounded better, Tony and Jenny.
It was just because listeners started calling you Jenny and
no.
You were like, no?
No, we thought it sounded better.
Okay.
Tony and Jenny instead of Tony and Jennifer. So we just said Tony and Jenny, and I got used to Jenny, and I like it. And now it's like, I'm only Jennifer if I'm in trouble. So,
yeah.
But no, I was supposed to be Wesley if I was a boy.
Have you ever wanted a different name if you were a girl?
No.
I mean, obviously you are a girl, but have you ever like said, I wish I had a different name is my point.
No, the only thing I can say about my name is I wish it didn't automatically date me.
Sure. We both have very dated names of our era.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, those two were born in the 80s.
And so I was trying to give our girls names that wouldn't date them. And in that effort, all the other Jennies in the world decided to name their daughters Olivia or Harper.
Yeah.
So there's a billion Olivias and Harpers now. So
there you go.
No good deed. No good deed goes unpunished.
That wraps up the program for today. Thank you guys for watching or listening to another episode of Junkin' with Jenny. Greatly appreciate it. Please press subscribe, whatever platform it is you're listening to us on. That's what helps this show grow and helps it survive. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, who would have been Wesley if she was a boy, I guess.
With a chuck wagon. Wesley with a chuck wagon
in her backyard. Front yard.
The whole world to see.
I'm Tony Brewski. We learned more on this episode than we ever expected. Thanks for watching another episode of Junkin' with Jenny.